breaks the bow and bends the spear and tells the wars to cease. O mighty one of Israel, you are on our side. We walk by faith in God who burns the chariots with fire. To speak, the earth it bows and all the mountains move into the sea. Oh Lord, you know the hearts of men, and still you let them live. Oh God, who makes the mountains melt, come wrestle us and win. Oh God, Lord of hosts, you're with us in the fire, with us as the shelter, with us in the storm. Calms the wind and waves, and makes my heart be still. The earth gives way, the mountains move into the sea, the nations rage. I know my God is in control. Oceans roar, you are the Lord of all, the one who calms the wind and waves, makes my heart be still. The earth gives way, the mountains move into the sea, the nations rage. With us in the storm, you will lead us through the fiercest battles. Oh, where else would we go but with the Lord of hosts? Lord of hosts, you're with us in the fire. With us as Calms the wind and waves and makes my heart be still. The earth gives way, the mountains move into the sea, the nations rage. I know my God is in control. The oceans roll, you are Lord of all, the one who calms the wind and waves, makes my heart be still. The earth gives way, the mountains move into the sea, the nations rage. I know my God is in control. Ocean, you are there, you are there, you are there. Oh, you are there, oh, you are there. If we fly high,
there if I go to the depths of Sheol. You are there, you are there, you are. I cannot run from you. You are there, you are there, you are there, you are there. To you, I belong to you. You are there, you are there, you are there. I belong to you, you are there, oh God. You are there, you are there. No matter where I go, no matter what I do, you are there, you are there. Your mercy got there before me. Your mercy got there before me. Your mercy outran me. Your grace outran me to my sin. Your grace outran me. Your mercy outran me and got there first. Got there first. You got there first. You got there first. No matter where I go, no matter what I do, you are there. Highest mountain, lowest low, no matter where I go, no matter what I do, you are there. Deepest ocean, highest mountain. My strong hand pulled you out before. Ooh. Haven't I rescued you before? So why be afraid? Why be afraid? I pulled you out by my strong hand. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Drown, you won't drown. Even though the waves come crashing in, you won't drown, you won't drown. So don't be afraid, you won't drown, you won't drown. I will pull you out by my hand, I will rescue you. Haven't I done it before? So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Oh. Oh, no. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Oh. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Oh. So don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Oh.
Perfect love casts out fear.
So don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Oh. Oh, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Oh. You won't drown, so don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Crying, I am there. afraid. Oh, I've heard your cry. I've heard your cry, and I am there. I've heard your cry, and I am there. I've heard your cry, and I come running. I've heard your cry, and I come running. Don't be afraid.
Your cry. Thank him, church. Thank him. Heart of thanksgiving, we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, that we cry and you hear our cry, oh God. You hear the prayers of your saints, oh Lord. The bowls of prayer in heaven are filling with every passing day. They are filling the prayers of the saints, filling up the bowls of prayer in heaven. Let's add to those prayers today, oh God. Let's add to those prayers today. I feel led right now to pray for pastors, so I'm just going to do that. We just pray for pastors right now. We pray for the pastors in this city, Lord. We pray for pastors in the surrounding area, oh God. God, that they would have your heart, that they would have your heart. Oh God, that they would have your heart, that they would have your heart. Oh God, give them supernatural eyes to see, oh Lord, the changes that you're making, the changes that you're making in the body, oh God. Let them hear the message of unity, Lord, and long and desire for unity just as you do, Lord. It's a pleasing oil that runs down the head of the priest, that runs down Aaron's beard. We thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, that you long for us to unify in the body of Christ, to leave man's traditions and enter back into temple worship with you, oh God. Teach us what that looks like, Lord. We don't even really know. God, that you would teach us about temple worship, Lord. That we would leave the atmosphere of entertainment and concert. We leave concert. We leave concert right now for temple. We leave concert for temple, oh God. We long for the temple, oh Lord. We yearn. We yearn for the temple of the Lord. We yearn for the temple of the Lord. Oh my goodness. The breeze of the presence of the Lord going in and out of us, going in and out of us. His breath in and out, the breath of heaven, even in this place right now, expanding our lungs, breathing you in, oh God, the temple, breathing you in, oh Lord, the temple presence. church, O Lord of entertainment and performance. O God, that people would stop, that they would stop, and that they would reverence you, reverencing you, Holy Spirit. Returning to the temple worship. I can see it even now, the tabernacle, the covered with the animal skin and the presence of the Lord hovering over the mercy seat. And as the Lord breathed, the skin stretched out with each breath, stretching out. He's wanting to do that in us. He's longing to abide in His church, not just for a few hours of performance or entertainment, but really abiding in us. Oh God, that godly sorrow and true repentance would come. Oh Lord, it's the prayer of the bride. Godly sorrow. Godly sorrow.
Don't move from this place. Let your glory come, God.
Godly sorrow over every pastor now. Every pastor, every church. Every pastor, every church. Hungering for unity in the body of Christ. Hungering for unity in the body of Christ. Oh God, we are asking now that there would be a hunger and a thirst for unity in the body of Christ. We're asking that your Spirit would go and call people to true repentance, godly sorrow, to turn from the path that they've been on and for their vision to line up with the Word of God. Godly sorrow, longing for unity. No more false humility, but truly walking in humility. Hunger, yearning, longing, just as the deer pants for the water, O God. And Lord, when the fire comes, that we would not try to run away, but that we would embrace the flames. That we would embrace the flames and allow ourselves to be purged, and everything that's unclean and unrefined and unholy, that all that dross would be burned away in the holy fire of God. God, that we would lay down all our dreams and all our visions, Lord, for your dream and your vision, O God. And that we would have the discerning of spirits to know the difference. O God, that the spirit of prayer would come to us in Bluefield. That we would long and hunger for that spirit of prayer that anoints us to pray the prayers of heaven. God, that we know your heart and that we pray your heart, O God. That we know your heart, God, and that we pray your heart, O God. As a unified governing body, the church in Bluefield. A unified governing body, the church in Bluefield. We hunger and we long for you, O Lord. We hunger and we long for you, O God.
Come on, let's just stay right here. No more church. The temple is coming. Come on, the altar is open right now. What are you hanging on to? But you need to come to the altar and surrender to Him. Deliverance is coming to this house. You will not be able to hang on to anything that separates you from Him. The plumb line is coming. The plumb line's coming to the house.
In my distress, when seemingly closed in, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. And He heard my voice out of His temple, His heavenly dwelling place. And my cry came before Him into His very ears. Into His very ears He heard my cry. Then the earth quaked and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled. They moved and were shaken because He was indignant and angry. And there went up smoke from His nostrils, and lightning out of His mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and thick darkness under His feet. And He rode upon a cherub, a storm, and flew swiftly. Yes, He sped upon the wings of the wind, and He made darkness His secret hiding place. As His pavilion, His canopy, round about Him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Out of the brightness before Him, there broke forth through His thick clouds hailstone and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered from the heavens, and the Most High uttered His voice amid hailstones and coals of fire. And He sent out His arrows and scattered them, and He flashed forth lightnings and put them to rout. The beds of the sea appeared, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at Your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of Your nostrils. He reached from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated and abhorred me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted and came upon me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my stay and my support. He brought me forth also into a large place. He was delivering me because He was pleased with me and delighted in me. He was delivering me because He was pleased with me and delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, my conscious integrity and sincerity with Him. According to the cleanness of my hands has He recompensed me. Oh God, we long for that deliverance, O Lord. clean hands, the pure heart, so that we can ascend Mount Zion, so that we can ascend the hill of the Lord. We long for union. We long for communion. We long for this intimacy with you, God. More than just surrendering, it's more than surrender. It's more than surrender. We begin to yield to His Spirit, the wave of His presence, the wave of His presence, the wave of His presence, when you yield, it comes. When you yield, the wave of His glory, the wave of His presence, the wave of His presence, when you yield, it comes, and freedom comes along. And freedom comes along. No need to move. No need to move. He just washes over you. No need to move. No need to move. He washes over you. Lord, your deliverance, oh God. He was delivering me because He was pleased with me and delighted in me. Yielding ourselves. Just begin the process of yielding. I hear questions. Well, how do you yield? How do you surrender? How do you do more than surrender? I can hear the questions. Holy Spirit says, just begin. Just begin. Just begin. All you have to do is begin. And He does the rest. Because He is pleased and delighted in you. He delivers you. He is pleased to do so.
The Lord says, or I feel like the Lord is saying in my heart, to trust me, you say. I am your deliverer, your fortress, yet you continue to be a slave to your sin that is hidden from others in the natural. Nothing is hidden from me. If you go to the mountaintop, I am there. To the ditch, I am there. The depths of your heart, I am there. Shake off your grave clothes, for you are crucified with me, and you have been risen to righteousness. You can now remove the false faces with me. Don't continue to hide yourself with me. You know, God knows even the hidden places. Even as Brother Ron says, the alabaster box, the secret place, that you hide things that you don't want to let anyone else know in the natural because you're ashamed. You feel guilty. You have self-condemnation over. But I am here to tell you this morning, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. He will not laugh at you. He will not shun you. He will not make fun of you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you.
The Lord is setting you in your place. You have been in a season of transition, and you have been unsure because the place you felt like you had found shifted. But the shifting was of the Lord. He is setting you in your place. And He is placing His words upon your tongue. You will say it. You will speak it. You will write it. That which you have operated in up until this point has been inferior to the real mantle that rests upon your life. For you, He will place His words upon your tongue. And you will say things and you will write things that will begin to pierce the hearts of men. And you will come to the place of the prophetic mantle that rests upon your life. And you, I say to you, you are a daughter of this house. You are not only a daughter of God, but you are a daughter of mine. And I acknowledge the calling that is on your life. And the Lord, you're going to begin to become set in your place. It's important for you to begin to study. Study in the prophetic arena. Begin to practice how you say your words, how you release. Because I'm telling you, the word of the Lord is coming upon your tongue. Your transition from one place to another is natural. You've also transitioned from one place to another in the spirit. And I acknowledge the prophetic gifting on your life. And I say, Lord, fill her mouth right now. The enemy has tried to destroy you because of the word that you will carry to the generation. Write your story. Write it. Go back and write it all. Write the hurt, the pain, the abuse, and watch the Lord do something that you could never imagine. Write the story. From birth till now, write the story. Step into your place. Another level is coming. Another level of dreams, visions. Daughter of God, I say to you, arise. Healing anoint. All pain out in Jesus' name. Rejection out in Jesus' name. Shame out in Jesus' name. Transformation come, God. We're asking you to come and begin to blow in this place in such a way that deliverance and freedom comes. Come to this place, Lord. for you. Make this a place of transformation. A place of encounter and transformation. Lord, in the next 6 months, I'm asking you to come. For what comes in 2019, Lord, I'm asking you to come to this house and get the people ready, God. Get us ready, Lord. Make us ready. Make us free and make us ready. Make us free and make us ready, Lord. Transformation of the people in this house, God. Great transformation is coming. We surrender to the potter's will.
Yes, Lord.
We surrender, Lord.
As we surrender, there's a step after surrender. As the Lord begins to change us, then we must operate in self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit. That's how you stay free. That's how you stay walking in right standing with God, is self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit. We have to have that. Those of us in deliverance have talked about how it's once you're freed, you have to maintain that freedom. Well, that's pretty interesting. Okay. You have to maintain that freedom. And the way that you do that is you have to deny yourself. It's self-control. There's no magic pill. Once the Lord has delivered you and freed you from your iniquity, you still have to have self-control. It's not a magic, deliverance is not a magic pill. You still have to have that. You guys hear me? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Fruit of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. God, bring it.
Amen, amen. I know it's kind of hard to transition out of a moment like this, but come on, let's just give him some praise right now. Yeah.
Jesus.
Amen. No more church. No more regular church services. But we're going to become the temple that God really wants for His glory to fill the earth. Come on, you can just make your way back to your seats. Amen. Amen. Love all the sound stuff going on, right? Hey, girl. Amen. Going to go ahead and take up an offering, and I don't know, kind of the scripture that God put on my heart. I'm not going to read it, but I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it. So the ushers go ahead and get ready to serve. But one thing that's just stuck with me this morning is, you know, when Doyle said, hey, you know, we're not just going to do church. We're not just going to have a regular church service. We're not just going to get caught up in the routine, but let's truly become the temple of the Lord. So His glory can fill us and fill the earth. I thought of Exodus 36. And it's when Moses was taking up offerings for the building of the temple, or the building of the tabernacle and the building of the sanctuary. And it says that the people were so willing to give that he actually had to stop the people from bringing more offerings because they had way too much. All right? In Exodus 36, you can check it out. I mean, I don't know about y'all, man, but I would love to see the body of believers really get to that place to where we're just so wanting nothing else but to know God and to see the purposes of God fulfilled that we're given everything that we have. Come on, what else are you going to live for? What else are you going to give to, man? This is the greatest thing ever. So just with that on your mind, I mean, we're not to that place yet. We're not to the place to where I can sit here and say, hey, guys, we don't need your offering. All right. I wish we was, you know. But God's doing some great things. We got some good stuff going on at the building over at Brush Fork. Just all kinds of stuff going on. And at the same time, I know he's moving on everyone's heart to really be a part and play their part and sow into it. So just keep that in mind as you give this morning. What if we became that people to where there was no lack, there was no need of anything, that everybody just had such a heart to give and was just so devoted and dedicated to seeing the purposes of God come to pass and knowing God himself, man, that we just didn't have any lack and we was able to just do everything that God wanted us to do and be all that God created us to be. So think about that as you give this morning. We're going to bless the offering. Whatever God puts on your heart, you know, give cheerfully. Don't give begrudgingly, you know. You might as well not even give it if you're going to hold on to it in your heart, you know. So we're just going to bless that, and then we're going to ask the children to come forward. So, Father God, we just thank you so much for your presence in this place this morning. Thank you so much for not just allowing us to just have a regular church service, but showing up and meeting us here, God, and getting real with us, and allowing us to get real with you, God. Yes, let us be this people of transformation, God, that truly become your temple, God. We ask that you bless this offering. Bless everyone who has the ability to give, God, and the ability to sow, and those who don't, God, just bless them to where they get to the point that they do, God. And we just thank you, and we love you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. And amen. If the kids would come forward, we're going to bless them, all these young people. Amen. And this one right here. Amen. Man, we got a lot of kids, don't we? We need some help up here. Well, Father God, we just bless these kids in the name of Jesus. Yes, yes. All the gifts of the fivefold, the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the evangelists, the pastors, awaken those things on the inside of these young people, God. Let the leadership and the teachers that are developing these things in them just develop them in the right way. Help us to steward these young people, God. And we just speak greater over these young people, greater over these young people. Yes, you're the God of the more, and we speak greater over these young people. They're not going to live their lives just getting to where we got to, but they're going greater, they're going further, they're going higher, they're going deeper, and we just release that in the name of Jesus right now. We just release it in the name of Jesus. Yes, yes, we bless each and every one of them, God. Stir it up on the inside of them. Let them be all that you've created them to be. No hindrances, no roadblocks, no stopping in the name of Jesus. Greater. Amen. 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 I guess Faith isn't here to do the announcements, so we're going to let Dole.
Since she backslid, I'm going to let Miss Judy share a testimony with you here before we move forward.
Thank you so much. I listen to a lot of preachers lately on the TV, and my preachers that I love with all my heart, and they've been talking a lot about the nations. So I began to have a heart and pray for Africa. And it just, my heart just came out. I couldn't help it. I cried and I cried and I wept. And God spoke to me in that time, and he said, I'm going to do things that nobody else can do. I'm going to go places nobody else can go. It's time for the Sarah, when he let Sarah get pregnant. That's what he's talking about. At that age where it was impossible, where he can go places and do things that nobody can do. That time is here. That time is here. It is here. So I began to pray. And I wept and I cried and I prayed and I wept. And one day as I began to pray, God said, Judy, there's an earthquake coming. And he said, this is on a little island that nobody else would go and nobody else would care about. So I thought, well, I'll check that out. I got on my phone, I touched the button, and I said, has there been any earthquakes in Africa in 2018? There it was, a little tiny island, and there had been an earthquake, 4.7 on the Richter scale. Well, I cried because I knew what God was saying. And I'm telling you this, church, not for any other reason but to let you know that God is taking care of the nations. And when he takes care of the nations, then it's going to become personable. We're next. Just wanted to let you know that because I think it's so beautiful. I felt so honored and so privileged, and I cried and I cried and I cried to think that he would take a woman that don't do anything, just runs back and forth to work. I'm 68 years old. But he still loved me. And he still used me. And he still showed me that. And now my heart is just in love with Africa. And I'm going to try to do some things. I'm just going to be led by God. But I wanted to share that with you to show you that, yes, he's taking care of the nations. But it'll be on a national level first and then a personal level. And the personal level is coming because he told me so. Let me tell you what he told me. He said, Judy, do you remember when you and I first started out that you loved me so much that when you went to the grocery store, yeah, and this is the truth, should I buy Lux pinto beans or bushes? That might sound funny, but I loved him that much. I trusted him that much. You see, that's what we're getting back to. Don't miss your personable moment with God because it's coming. I'm here to tell you that. This morning he told me, don't miss it by distractions. Don't miss it by worrying about what somebody else is doing or worrying about if your kid's going to be safe. Don't miss your personable moment with God. Because just like he touched that little island that nobody else would go to, he's going to touch our lives. We're going to see things that we've never seen before. I love you, church. I love you.
Amen. Awesome word. Don't you love coming to a church where you hear from the body? Speaking of that, this is my first time speaking to you in over a month. I don't know if you know that or not. Some of you probably been rejoicing. I know it's been at least 4 weeks, might possibly even be five. So I can never be accused of hogging the show or hogging the pulpit. But that's what we're called to do here, raise up team ministry. Well, let me tell you a couple things. Say he's talking to me. Say he's talking to me. Me. Listen, it's June, and we need your help. Say it's me. We need your help in Brush Fork every day. We need somebody doing something at that property every day. So don't question and think, well, maybe it's not me. Maybe I don't know what I can do. We'll find something for you to do. But we need somebody at that property every day. We want to kick into high gear and get the job done. So say he means me. If you're at home taking it easy, shame on you. If you're bored, in the month of June, there is no room for boredom in this house. There's no excuse for boredom. I mean, you know, I pray that when you sit around on the couch touching the remote, the Lord says, Brush Fork, Brush Fork, Brush Fork. Seriously, we need people every day. Another thing that we're going to begin to do is we want to begin to have prayer at the other location. So, if you're going to come and work, come by an hour. I already started this yesterday. This thing keeps cutting out on me. Can I try yours? It likes yours better than it does this one. Let's see. I want people to begin to come to the building, turn on your phone, turn on your prophetic worship, and just begin to walk every inch of that building. And we're going to go, actually going to go down and start doing some prophetic worship down there in this month. So I believe that, you know, that's something that the Lord spoke to Tony. And I was down there for a little while by myself. And I found myself just walking around decreeing and declaring. And there's a reason that, in all honesty, we have what we have here. We opened up something that stays open. And we want to make sure it gets opened there. And all the devils get out. And I mean, there's been some workers in there. They may have carried a few in. We want to begin to prepare that atmosphere. Not y'all, I hope. Certainly not any of y'all. But we want to begin to prepare that atmosphere. So we're going to begin to do some praying and some prophetic worship. And then the last thing I'm going to tell you is this. On Sunday evening, I know that the mandate on my life in this house is not to do ministry, but to raise up ministers. So if you feel, more and more of my time will be put into this area of pouring my life into other people that will be in the ministry. Pulpit ministry, I mean. Everybody's in the ministry here. But I'm talking about people who feel called to pulpit ministry of some capacity or fivefold ministry of some capacity. On next Sunday evening, now next weekend is a busy weekend. Ah, I forgot one announcement. But next weekend is the women's conference. So it's going to be awesome. We have postcards for you. We want you to leave here with them today. This is the final stretch. If you've invited somebody, get back on the phone with them. Remind them. Get them here. And then the postcards we have this week, we want you to take some out of here, not to put over your sun visor, not to fan with when it's hot. We want you to go aggressively to get people here for this meeting. Men, if you're of the male persuasion, raise your hand. Two things for you. This is supposed to be a women's conference, but we want you here. Because the key to it is this. The men need to figure out the true value of a woman also. So please come. Because I promise you, you don't know what your wife's going to learn. And if she learns it and you don't, she's going to be frustrated. Now with that also, all males, raise your hand. Agree. He's talking about me. I'm a male. Next Sunday, that Sunday morning at 9 a.m., Bishop Jackson is going to come and speak to men only. If you're a part of this house and you're not dead or working, please be here. And if you're not a part, I mean, I'm really probably going to advertise this to everybody for men. So if you know men, if you know more men, get them here. I mean, we are at a disadvantage in this neighborhood. Because most of the men nowadays did not come up with Promise Keepers. And they have not stood in stadiums with thousands of men and heard the message that this man brings. And so I see it all the time that I'm not perfect. And I'm certainly do not walk at the level he does in some of these areas. But I know about it. And what I see over and over is men really don't even know the message. So I don't always get things right, but because of that message that came through that ministry, Promise Keepers, and this man, I at least know when I'm not doing right. And there's a whole lot of men that are not doing right and don't have a clue that they're not doing right. They're just doing what their daddy did. So if you are a man, be here at 9 o'clock on Sunday. Be here for the whole conference. Now see, here's how I'm segueing into this. I want to begin to train people and pour my life into people that I know are called to pulpit ministry. If that's you, then I have a meeting on Sunday evening at 6 p.m. This is your first test because it's a busy weekend. I've been in church all week. I don't think I'll go down there. You move way down on the list because the first key to being a person in ministry is paying a price. If you're not dead or working, you should probably be at church. And see, that's the first thing that you have to build in someone who's called to leadership. So it'll be a good test for you. I didn't really plan that. When I thought about it, I didn't really plan it that way. But it'll show me who wants to and who doesn't. And that's not a guilt trip. That's just the truth. I always know when somebody's called to a greater level of ministry because they're faithful. And not only are they faithful, they call and tell you when they're not going to be there and things like that, even before they get a position. So if you feel like you're called to ministry or one of the fivefold gifts, some of you, I gave you some help. I sent you a letter and told you, I mean you, because you don't know you're called to the fivefold ministry. But if you didn't get a letter, you may get one this week. If you didn't, don't think it's overlooking you. You know if you're, you probably know if you're called to the ministry. So I'm going to do this a lot. And I'm figuring out once a month is not enough for the level of pouring in that I want to do with this group of people. But we'll figure that out later. So I actually have a great word of encouragement for you today. I mean, I have such a word of encouragement because life can be hard, right? So if Gabe's got me ready, I want you to watch something with me because I believe this is a picture and a great word for the body of Christ for you today. So Gabe, if you're able to do this, make sure you make a full screen there for me. Now, this is... unmute. There was sound coming out earlier, I promise you. Check your sound on the main machine. I shouldn't know not to do it. What about the sound on the YouTube thing? There's another place for sound also. Over there in the corner. Well, I promise you we played it earlier. Oh well. Well, go ahead and put it back on full screen. Now, push play. Now, what's going on here? You know this commercial. But they're singing, I'm Only Human. I'm only human. This is the Christian life here, folks. I'm showing you. I'm only human. So I'll do the song. Bubba done fell through the roof. I was Vic and Tim Ray and Kevin Gross there at the golf course. So that is a message from God. Because after all, we're only human, amen? That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. That's a lie. The Bible does not say that. You say that because it's been ingrained on the inside of you. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Is there anybody in the room who doesn't know that song? You've been getting filled with bad theology your whole life. That song starts out, I'm only human. Of course, it's used, I'm just a man. And it's permeated the body of Christ, and it's in your psyche, and it's in your DNA, and it's a lie from the pit of hell. And the reason that we're not shaking the earth and shaking nations is because we have a concept that we're only human, and we use this phrase, I'm only human, to sin and do what we want to do.
It's your thing. Do what you want to do. But you might go to hell. And I've been sent to tell you. So I'm not coming with a condemning message to you today. But I want to work on a mindset that's in the hills of West Virginia and in this region, where we live far beneath where God called us to be. And the reason we do it is we say, well, I'm only human. Fly I'm the bird. Well, I'm only human. Living beneath the calling of God on our lives. We're only human. It's not biblical. Let's look at what the Word says. Oh, let me tell you about the one day at a time. It starts out with that phrase, I'm only human. It's been recorded by over 200 different people and been a number one hit in many nations. Now, what am I working on? A mindset that says, I'm only human. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do in greater. But we're not doing greater works. And one of the main reasons is we think we're only human. Yeah, here's the number one argument. Yeah, but he was Jesus. I'm only human. He was Jesus. Then you don't even know why you're saved. Because he became what you are to make you what he is. Yes. He did not walk the earth as God. He walked the earth as a human. I know that's hard for you to believe, but he walked the earth as a human, totally submitted to the will of God. It wasn't, his flesh wasn't an excuse for him. But see, we've got a mindset within the church, it's an excuse for us. Don't expect me to come to a higher level. I'm just a human. And see, when you begin to get in an atmosphere of apostolic grace that wants to grow you up, you can even think, well, who does that preacher think he is? Doesn't he know I'm just a human? Boy, he sure expects a lot. Yeah. Well, you see, the preacher knows you're not just a human. Right. And you're deceived if you think you're just a human. Because you're not. Now, look what the Bible says. If anybody else had written this, you might not have believed it. But this is the Apostle Paul. This is the big one right here. This is the one who wrote most everything in there in the New Testament. Look what he says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3. Look at it. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, are you not carnal? That's not the version I wanted. I want the NIV. Listen to the NIV. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Listen to what Paul asked. Are you not acting like mere humans? I'm just a human. My God, I'm only human. Paul said, what in the world is wrong with you? You're running around acting like you're human. That's what he said, folks. Paul said, what is the deal? You're running around acting like you're a mere human. Ooh, it's quiet in here now. I'm dealing with a mindset. I'll sin a little over here and say, well, I'm only human. Paul had his thorn in the flesh. No, Paul looked at these people and said, what is wrong with you? You're acting like a human being. Do you see how that's so far off from where we are today? Our whole mindset and philosophy has been, well, I'm just human. And Paul said, why in the world are you acting like a human? You're not just human. See, you are not just human. Ooh, I got some people's attention now. And as long as you just think that you're human, you're going to live far beneath what he has for you. Now let's look at some other things he says. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as to carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you able. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy, strife, and divisions, are you not carnal and acting like mere men? Now, if you've been in the church any time at all, I just read to you the Sunday morning service in 90% of the church. Envy, strife, and division. Now, how can we have so much envy, strife, and division in the church? Because we got people who think they're only human. So then it gives me an excuse not to walk at a higher level, because after all, I'm human. But I'm trying to get you to see that Paul rebuked someone for acting like a human. He was taking away that excuse. And I believe the Lord has spoken over this house that he's producing. He wants to create. He wants to breathe on a people in this place that he makes like him and makes holy. And because of that, they are not going to act like mere men. They're going to understand the nature that God has put in them. And it says, so there's envy, strife, and division among you because you're carnal. And you walk as men. What do you expect when the worship has been built on carnality? They don't care if you serve Jesus or not. They don't care if you know the word or not, as long as you can play that instrument. I don't care if you can play like an angel. Doesn't matter to me. Because I'm not after a human. If a human can do it, God's probably not going to bless it. See, so we've built the church around carnality, which is humanity. And ask him, we ask him to bless our humanness. Whew, man, it's quiet. I'm kicking over a sacred cow this morning. Just a human. Paul rebuked people for making that statement. And we have 200 people who've recorded a song about it. It's not scriptural. And as long as we think that way, we give ourselves an out on lots of things. Sin, unfaithfulness. Well, there's only so much I can do. Because I'm a human. So I want to show you how this thing works. Now let's look at this. I'm going to read you this same scripture now in the Amplified Version, because it begins to pull out what we're trying to address this morning. It says, however, brethren, I could not talk to you as spiritual men, but as to non-spiritual. Now here's what non-spiritual men are. They're men. This is what carnality is. This is what carnal is. This is 90% of the music that you listen to, your worship music. Where they drank all night last night and came to church on Sunday morning. It says, but I had to speak to you as non-spiritual. Men of the flesh in whom the carnal nature predominates. I had to speak to you as mere infants in the new life in Christ, unable to talk yet. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not yet strong enough to be ready for it. But even yet, you are not strong enough to be ready for it. Now watch it. For you are still unspiritual, having the nature of the flesh under the control of ordinary impulses. You're under the control of ordinary impulses. You're under the control of ordinary impulses. You're acting like a human. You're doing what comes natural to humans. You're doing what comes, you're following your nature. He says, for as long as there are envying and jealousy and wrangling and factions among you, you are not spiritual and of the flesh. You're behaving yourselves after a human standard, and here it is, like mere unchanged men. So we come up and we say a nice little prayer. Number one, most people today are not hearing the gospel. The gospel is Jesus died on the cross, now it's your turn. It's not pray this sweet little prayer and you're saved. They didn't even hear the gospel. They were just told, if you pray this prayer, life will be great for you. They're unchanged men. See, the carnal nature, that's what it means. You're supposed to be saved, but you're living like an unchanged man. It's quiet. You're living like a human. Hey, you didn't get saved to live like a human. Now, we could quit right there. You did not get saved to act like a human. And see, guess what we as human beings do? When great men and women of God get raised up that stop acting like human and start acting like they came from heaven, we do what they tried to do. I just read in the book of Acts, they tried to worship Paul. They tried to worship men who act like they're not from earth, not realizing that you're not from here either. You're not human either. So because we've bought into the fact that we're just human, we tend to make deities out of men and women of God when the only difference in them is they got a revelation that they weren't mere men, that they were something besides human. Are you hearing me? It says, unspiritual, having the nature of the flesh under the control of ordinary impulses. So when I say I'm only human, what I'm saying is, I live my life according to ordinary impulses. If it feels good to me, I do it. If it looks good to me, I watch it. If it sounds good to me, I listen to it. So I come to church on Sunday morning on the way listening to I'm on a Highway to Hell. Baby, you can laugh, but it's true. It is. You know why? Because you're carnal. You're acting like mere men. But yet we want Jesus to use us to heal the sick, raise the dead, go to the nations. Mere men. Living according to ordinary impulses. I want what I want, and I want it now. That's why I go to Burger King, so I can get it my way. When you really get saved, you don't like Burger King. That old sloppy, nasty stuff. If you don't like KFC, there ain't even no heaven for you. As I digress. So what does it mean then? It means this word carnal means that you follow your natural impulses. We do have barbecue today. I forgot to announce that. To raise money for missions, stay by and get some, just give us a donation. Donations will probably be light after this message. No, seriously, I'm going to take you a little deeper, but please understand, I'm not trying to beat you up. This is not a message of condemnation. This is dealing with a mindset that we can never come to the place He has called us to be when we're thinking, I'm only human. What if Jesus had thought He was only human? But again, you say, but He was Jesus. Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. He's not just your Savior, He's your elder brother, which means He's made you to be like Him, so you can't use that excuse anymore. If He did it, you can do it. If He was not mere human, then you're not mere human. I'm only human. I'm on my way to hell. I'm only human. That'll be a hit for you right there, brother, if you got that one. I can imagine what kind of face you'll put on that. So let's look at this. So we're missing the level God has for us because we're busy thinking like human.
beings. But you're not a human being. You're a spirit. You are more than one part. And so let's look at how this is breaks down in our life. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 through 16. So, to be carnal means that you're acting like a normal man. You're acting according to the normal impulses. Well, here's the problem with that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Now, see, this is why... I don't want to meddle there, Lord. This is why those who are of carnality don't like 15 minutes of prayer before church, because they want to spend their time being carnal. They don't want you to mess up their carnality 15 minutes previous. It's just what it is. Not trying to win friends and influence people. See, the natural man cannot receive the things of God. And what we... Oh, my goodness. Well, you know what we've done in the church? We've catered the church to appeal to men's natural desires. So we got fog and smoke and lights. So we got the naked cowboy in Hillsongs in New York. What are we doing? We've built the church around appealing to carnality. And so when a church begins to be formed that's not appealing to your natural impulses, you don't like it. Because it begins to challenge you. Because here's the reason: the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. He can't receive it. So when you have a little bit of prophetic worship, you're told, man, you can't grow a church like that. Then what you're telling me is to design the church so it appeals to the natural man, because the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. So if you want to get natural men in your natural pews, then you have to do something that's not of the Spirit of God. I'm not making this up. Don't get mad at me. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So what we have to see is what comes natural to man because of human nature is in direct opposition to God. I'm going to say that again. What comes natural to man because of human nature is in direct opposition to God. So if I so there's no alternative. It's either my way or his way. There is no in between. What comes natural to man because of human nature is in direct opposition to God. Now, what is God doing in this house? He's challenging each of us to get rid of that fleshly nature, because what we want is in direct opposition to him. And we're going to either have to choose him or us. Carnality, living according to natural impulses, or choosing his way. And unfortunately, many today have bought into the fact that they're only human, so they've given themselves and we've given ourselves an out to start with, so that we can do a little sin or whatever. Hey, don't let me just say sin. Some things are not sin at all, but God's still telling us to get rid of them. This is the difference between living spiritually and living carnally. But Lord, I can't find anything wrong with it in the Scripture. All you people drinking and going to church. I don't care who you are. Don't care who gets this message. Don't care whether you're in California, North Carolina. There's carnality in you if you want to drink. Period. Ain't no question about it. It's carnality. My body likes to drink, so I drink. Well, if we embrace that, then my body likes to watch porn. So, I'll just watch a little porn. My body likes to eat. So, I'm just going to eat everything I see. Do you understand what I'm saying? The real issue is allowing your natural impulse to dictate your life. I didn't mean to go this way. But I want to break a mindset. See, I think the Lord is telling us to become holy. We can't even become holy if we keep using that excuse, I'm just human. Can't do it. And see, when you say holiness, sometimes we think of stuff that we shouldn't be doing. Well, holiness is also something that we are. Because you can like to argue, fuss and fight, be rebellious, don't submit to authority. I can name a whole list, and that's still unholiness. Thinking you know more than everybody else, the list goes on and on. So we're not just talking about behavior, we're talking about the attitude of the heart. So I felt it in the atmosphere that some of y'all are rising up and saying, yeah, brother, that's right. But you're not dealing with what's on in your heart, your envy, your strife. You're thinking you know more than everybody else, your haughtiness because of your religious spirit. All that stuff comes in there too, baby. So if you're sitting there thinking, who needs to hear this message? I'm talking to you. You, hey, I'm talking to you. Adrian! Hey, if you do that, if you play that, I'll be ready to roll. Call it carnality, but boy, sure feels like a whole lot like Jesus rising up in me. Every time I hear that song, I'm like, come on, devil, bring it on, baby. I'm ready. I'm going to take you out. You know it's true. Lord, get back on track. We could change it to the Lion of Judah. The Lion of Judah. Man, I got to get... Y'all shouldn't let me stay out of the pulpit this long. But it says here we have the mind of Christ. Snapchat's hot today, baby. But see, here's what I'm trying to get you to see. You're not just human. It says here we have the mind of Christ. You have a new nature. Now, as Susie from Morningstar said years ago, and we've never left it, see, here's the way we approach life. I'm telling you, that's why you came to church this morning. Because you think you're an earthly being having a spiritual experience, so you came here to have a spiritual experience this morning. Say amen. Amen. We believe that we're human beings and we're having a spiritual experience. That is not true. We are spiritual beings having an earthly experience. And when we begin to shift our mindset that way, we begin to live differently. But see, if I'm just thinking I'm human, then I'm always running to the next preacher, looking for the next holy hand to slap on my head, looking for the next prophetic word. And I've had so many holy hands slapped on my head, there's a permanent spot, and I'm still struggling. Because I think I'm an earthly being, and every now and then I come to church on Sunday so I can have a heavenly experience. When in reality is, the nature of God is in you, and you are a spirit being having a momentary earthly encounter. Man, I feel Jesus on that. What if we raised up a group of people here that understood they're spirit beings? If I understood... Keep in mind, I'm preaching to myself. If I understood I was a spirit being, I would not let certain things contaminate me. I wouldn't listen to just anything. I wouldn't watch just anything. You know why? Because if I understood that I was a spiritual being having an earthly experience, then I would know that that's going to contaminate me. But because I think I'm an earthly being once in a while having a spiritual experience, then it's okay for me to get contaminated. Because after all, I'm only human. And a human wants what a human wants. But see, if I begin to get the revelation, my goodness, what would happen if we raised up a group of people who are new when they come in here? I'm a God being. I'm not a human. I'm a God being. And His nature is in me. See, Jesus was both God and man. So are you.
Ooh, I felt that little religious thing rise up.
Preacher's saying, we're God. What do you think happened to you when you got saved, honey? The essence of what made God, God, came into your spirit. But see, it didn't come into your soul, so you can still smoke, toke, drink, do whatever you want to do, because it's coming from the carnal realm. But that doesn't change the fact that on the inside, you have God's Zoe life. Yeah. You have the thing that makes God say, oh man, I feel this so strongly. You have the thing that makes God, God, on the inside of you. That's what happened when you got saved. You're not a mere human. Whatever makes God, God, is inside of you, in your spirit. And He created you in His image and His likeness. And when you come to true salvation, your spirit returns to the Garden of Eden before the fall. I'm convinced we got all kinds of saved people that don't even know what it means to be saved. Because why is it? Because we're still living according to our natural impulses. But I got a news bulletin for you today. When you got saved, you were restored back to the garden before the fall in your spirit.
Yes.
So you then are the essence of what makes God and human. You're both. And the difference is, I'm just choosing to live my life based on what comes natural to me. I'm only human. I believe the lie that I'm only human. I'm not only human. I'm not only human. That's why when somebody stands in front of me, sometimes I can read their mail when I've never seen them, because I'm not only human. The DNA that made God, God, is on the inside of me. God spoke, and it was.
Amen.
Inside your spirit, you have that capacity. But you can't live according to your natural tendencies. Jesus was both God and man. So are you. You are human, but you have the essence of God on the inside of you. So then that means I have two natures on the inside of me. Another country song, and it comes back up. Cleanse the subconscious, Lord. Now, I'm not singing that, brother. There was a country song, though, once upon a time, that said, part of my blood is Cain's blood. Part of my blood is Abel's. Well, whether you realize that or not, that's a picture of these two things on the inside of you. You have the essence of what makes God, God, on the inside of your spirit, but you still have the human nature and its impulses, and you have to choose which one you're going to listen to, because they're both speaking to you. Anybody having fun yet? Y'all want to find another church? Y'all want me to wait another month before I speak? So here's what I want you to get this morning, guys. And I believe, honestly, all over the body of Christ, we're trying to do this. You cannot experience the life of God and follow human nature. Can't do it. You cannot experience the life of God and follow human nature. This reminds me of when I started losing weight. It really does. Because I never thought anything about calories. And we did a fast. And after the fast, I thought, you know what? I'm going to get me this app, and I'm going to eat 2,000 calories a day. And up until that point, hear this now. Up until that point, I never thought about calories. If I wanted it, I ate it. It never entered my mind. Hear this spiritually. This is what that carnality is. If I want it, I do it in every area of my life. And when I started looking at calories, when I really started paying attention, I was like, oh dear God. I'm trying to give you something that may sound funny, but it really hit me. I have lived my whole life just doing whatever I wanted to do whenever I wanted to do it. That's what I'm saying in the spirit. That's the difference between a mature Christian and a non-mature Christian. The non-mature Christian just does whatever he wants to do. Just if he wants to eat it, he eats it. And when I started counting those rascals, I thought, my Lord, I must have been eating 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 calories a day. See, that's not the point of what I'm saying here is, though, I was just doing what came natural to me.
Right.
But I never thought. See, I've only been sitting here today to get you to start thinking. You're not just human. You can obey that part of you that's like God instead of that part of you that's natural. Yes. So I started counting them little rascals. Lord bless Cracker Barrel. He's already over there. Hey, it's summertime, baby. What happens at Cracker Barrel in summertime? I know there's somebody in here knows. Campfire, baby. Campfire chicken. Glory to God. I started to sit down and order that campfire chicken. I'd look forward to it all fall, all winter. But you see, on the inside, I had now started to not just automatically follow impulse. I looked at that sorry, stinking menu. And on that menu, it said this one stinking meal. I'm supposed to have 2,000 calories a day. This one meal, which I love, not counting the 14 gallons of Coke. I hope you're getting this spiritually, what I'm saying. I'm messing somebody's dinner up today. Folks, 1,750 calories for one meal without the drink. I was like, everything inside of me said, do it. But because I had learned to govern, everything in me wants that. But I'm not going to take it. Do you see the parallel? See, that's how you are. You have two natures in you. You're just like God in your spirit. But you also have this carnal nature. And you have to make a decision to kill one in order to follow the other. So, I'm going to say it to you again. If I can find it. You cannot experience the life of God and follow human nature. So unfortunately, and I don't mean this to be critical. I'm not beating anybody up. Anybody who serves Jesus is, you know, a step above those who don't, I guess. But do you see how, in many cases and instances, we are trying to experience the life of God while building the church on human nature? Great lights, great smoke, great presentation, great performance. God's not going to let us do performance here.
Amen.
If you're on the worship team for performance, you're in the wrong house.
That's right.
There's plenty of clubs that'll let you play on Saturday night, but this is a house for you. Why? Because we're not building church on... We're not going to try to experience the life of God while following human nature. We have to follow the new nature. You have to follow the new nature that God's given to you because the Spirit is in you, not the... Well, I don't know how I wrote that, but anyway. Now, let's look at it. Anybody in here like dying? So you tell me you'd rather... Who in here would rather live than die? Really? Romans chapter 8 verse 6 says this. Now what am I telling you? It says to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Man, I just don't understand it. I just can't get no peace. I go to church and I can't get no peace. I just don't feel like I ever have peace. Carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded gives you life and peace. So if you don't have any peace, you're probably living a carnal life. You're eating the 1,750 calorie meal because you want it. Carnality, now what is carnality? It's you following your natural impulses. Well, the Bible says then that me following my natural human nature is death. But to be spiritually minded, you're both God on the inside of you and self on the inside of you. So to be carnally minded, to follow my own way, is death. To be spiritually minded, to follow the part that is like God, is life and peace. And it says the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Lord have mercy, I want to stay here for a while. You know what the religious spirit is? The religious spirit is trying to please God in the flesh. If I wear long dresses and don't cut my hair and don't wear makeup, that's all focused on flesh. It's trying to please God in the flesh. But this scripture tells us that the nature of man, or trying to please him in the flesh, is in direct opposition to God. It says the flesh cannot please God. Whole denominations are built on having their flesh please God. That's called religion. Thinking that what I do in the flesh can please him. He said that the day is coming and is now when they that worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. See, we're worshiping in the spirit realm, not the flesh realm. That's why people who come looking for flesh realm get offended. Oh my God, they missed a note. Oh my God, she went off key. That's because they're in love with Jesus and they're not cared about what you think. Because they're not appealing to flesh. Look at it in the Amplified. So here's what I'm trying to say to you. Now the mind of the flesh. So here's what we got to see. You have a carnal mind and a spiritual mind. You have two minds. Which means you have two voices and two tendencies on the inside of you. Right? Now look at it in the Amplified. Now the mind of the flesh. What is the mind of the flesh? It is reason. It is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit. I just live my... Do you pray about what you do? Did you just buy the car you wanted to buy? Did you just date the woman you wanted to date? Did you hear God, sir? Or did you think she looked pretty? Did you ask Holy Spirit, is it okay for me to date this person? Is it okay for me to buy this house? Is it okay for me to live here? Look at it again. The mind of the flesh is that which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit. I never even asked him. And then you went down the aisle and said, I do. And when it went to hell, you rebuked the devil. And you called it warfare. It ain't warfare, baby. You went from the mind of the flesh. It's the human desire and decision apart from asking Holy Spirit. What comes natural to you? All I know, baby, is she looks good. Hear me now. It's sense and reason without the Holy Spirit. Are you living your life according to the Holy Spirit or what you want? That's what we're talking about. He says it's death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin. Both here and the hereafter. I say it's a miserable life to live according to what you desire and you want without the Holy Spirit and asking Him first. That's what it says. The death is the death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and peace, both now and forever. It says soul peace. That means I got peace in my mind, will, and emotions. I'm not wrestling, struggling, striving, because I've learned to live two minds, mind of the spirit, mind of the flesh. Mind of the flesh is my natural instincts. Mind of God or mind of the spirit is what the Holy Spirit is revealing to me. Oh, we got some more good stuff on that next week. So you can have death or life and peace. And what it comes down to is whether how much human you gonna be. Let's break it down a little farther. If I live like a human, I'm gonna get death. But if I live like God, I'm gonna have life and peace. I feel the Holy Spirit in here. Some of us been rebuking the devil. Devil, it's my flesh. It's my desire. All he's trying to get me to do is kill what I want. I'll say that, yeah. I've said this to a couple people lately, but Bishop Jackson taught us something about DOA. What's DOA? Dead on arrival. Well, he taught us to change that to death opportunity awareness. Now, what am I talking about here? There's two minds in you. Every time God brings you to a place, you've got a choice to make. Death opportunity awareness is you learning to make the decision to kill that natural instinct on the inside of you. See, you can do this, you can practice this, and you'll grow in the Spirit. Because when the spirit of smack comes upon you, when you're used to telling people off, it's death opportunity awareness. Because come Monday morning, before you get through the drive-thru, somebody's going to act like a fool. And when you feel it begin to rise up on the inside of you, that's your natural instinct, your natural flesh. If you will go, I'm not going to do that. Then what you're doing is killing that flesh. It's death opportunity awareness. And if you begin to develop a lifestyle of that, you'll begin to develop a lifestyle where you live from the God place instead of the natural place. Some of you, before you got here this morning, you had a DOA and you missed it. To live according to the human nature is death. The mind of the flesh is living according to sense and reason without the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. I think there's two voices on the inside of you. Let God tell you to do something. Quit your job. I'm calling into the ministry. Quit your job. Get behind me, Satan. That woman's not the right one for you. Get behind me, Satan. I didn't ordain that relationship for you. Get behind me, Satan. And then you stick a few tongues in there to cover it up a little better. Right? Reason. How do you know the difference? Reason is the voice of the carnal mind. Faith is the voice of the spirit mind. So when you're sitting there, and it'll happen to you, quit your job, go into the ministry. Well, that's faith. It takes faith to do that. But see, the other mind kicks in and says, my God, you'll starve to death. Your wife will kill you if you do that. How in the world am I going to pay my bills? Anytime God is calling you to step out in faith, you will immediately hear another voice right across from it saying something else. This is the two natures in you.
Yes.
You got a voice of the Spirit, a mind of the Spirit, and a mind of the flesh. And see, what happens is if you don't grow up and teach yourself to listen to that other voice, though it's harder, I'm trying to tell you, some people miss out on their blessings. Because you just want to stay in your comfort zone. Reason is the voice of carnality. Trying to figure it out. There's people in this room trying to figure something out God done told you to do. You ain't ever going to figure it out. Because you've got the nature of God in you, and God just calls it forth and it happens. Anybody learning anything? I'll try to hurry now. I said I'll try. I got 4 weeks worth of stuff built up. Nah. Now watch this. Let me show you this picture again. Let's look at James 1, 5 through 8, in two different versions. It says this, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from God. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all he does. Now let's look at this in the Amplified Bible. Only it must be by faith that he asks with no wavering, no hesitating or no doubting. For the one who wavers, hesitates, and doubts is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. For truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything from the Lord. Hear that now. What person will not receive anything from the Lord? What person will not receive anything from the Lord? For being he is a man of two minds. He's hesitating, dubious, and irresolute. He is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, and decides. Who will not receive from God? The man who has two minds. And that's the mind of the flesh and the mind of the spirit speaking to you at the same time. Do it and I'll bless you. Do it and you'll die. Do it and I'll bless you. Do it and you'll look like a fool. You see that? So you're double-minded. Being double-minded is the carnal mind and the spirit mind speaking to you at the same time. And you become like the possum. I ain't telling no possum story again. You become a man of two. You have the mind of the spirit and a natural mind. So to be carnally minded is death. That's where I'm going to stop right there. We're going to talk some more about this next week. But I've just come today to deal with a mindset that you think you're just human. As long as you think you're just human, you're never going to walk in the fullness of God. Because you'll always have an excuse. You'll always have an excuse to act like a fool. You'll always have an excuse why you can't do it. And so when the Lord begins to move on you, move on your gifts, draw you into deeper things, that reason will come and you'll say, hey, I can't do that. So you have to begin to be a person who walks according to the mind of the Spirit, not according to the mind of the flesh. We have to become people who do not live according to natural impulses. But when I have a natural impulse, I ask Holy Spirit, is this you? Dang, Tim's holding up a check for me. Man, this message is God's moving. Anybody else got checks? I'm looking for one of the meetings where the people just start running up. It hasn't happened to me yet. Where they just start throwing that money? Whew, that ain't happened to me yet. I must not be politically correct enough. I need to change to a nice, sweet message and tell y'all how great you are. The Lord's going to bless you. And the people run up and throw money. Whew. Lord, we thank you. Father, I ask that you would bring revelation in this room. Lord, I pray that every person right now, by the way of the Spirit, would receive revelation. That they would hear the mind of the Spirit. And where there's warfare going on between the mind of the Spirit and the mind of the flesh, that, Lord, that you would cause them to recognize the difference. And you would cause them to make right decisions, Lord. I speak to confusion to be gone. See, that's what confusion is, really. Confusion is a battle between the mind of the Spirit and the mind of the flesh. So, Lord, I say let all confusion be gone right now. I pray, Lord, that the people would leave this place today with a revelation that they are supernatural beings, that the essence of God is on the inside of them, that what you have done, you have empowered them to do. I pray that they would leave here knowing that the works that Jesus did, they will do and greater, because the one who raised up Christ from the dead lives on the inside of them. The essence of who God is in their spirit. And I pray, Lord, that revelation would come. Lord, I pray that some people in this room would step out in great faith. Lord, that they would quit listening to reason. That they would quit listening to the mind of the flesh. And they would listen to the mind of the Spirit. Lord, we pray for ears to open right now. To hear what you are saying.
and courage to step out and walk in what you are saying. Lord, we just thank you that you're going to transform us in this place. Lord, I say transformation in this house. Lord, encounter is coming in our worship services that causes us to get completely free. Free of wrong attitudes, wrong beliefs, pet sins, wrong identities. Lord, we're asking you to come in this very month and begin to encounter us in our worship time so much that it begins to transform us and we let go of many things that have held on to us for years, and that we step into the fullness that you have for us. Let it be so, Lord. Let it be so. That the spirit of wisdom and revelation come today, Lord. Let the revelation come that they are not just flesh and blood, but that the essence of Zoe, the God kind of life, lives on the inside of their spirit. I pray for dreams to come, Lord. I pray for faith to arise, for people to have impossible dreams. I pray for people in this house to begin to hear your voice and step out of the boat onto the water and step into the impossible, to believe, to dream, to put away reason, and to follow your voice. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing. I ask that you bless this food, Lord, that we're going to eat and those that prepared it. Lord, we just pray and bless everyone who sows seed into missions. Lord, as a donation, as we take this time to fellowship together and spend time together, we bless you and thank you, Lord, that you meet every need of every person and that you watch over us. And I say, Lord, in Jesus' name, you watch over your word to perform it. Right now, you're watching over your word. There's prophetic words being released over people in this room. You're watching over your word to perform it. I feel that so strongly in my spirit. You're watching over your word to perform it. Yes. Your word will never return void. It will accomplish that for which you have sent it. We say in Jesus' name that the word among us is becoming flesh. I thank you, Lord, that the word over this house is becoming flesh, that it will be walked out, and that we will see the hand of the Lord in our lives and in our midst, in Jesus' name. Amen. Stay around, have some fellowship and some food.